You're listening to WAER News at WAER.org and NPR One. I'm Katie Zolkowski. Comedy Central's Trevor Noah is the featured speaker at Syracuse University's Martin Luther King Jr. celebration this Sunday. Noah's life story as the son of a South African mother and European father has struck a chord with many on campus. SU journalism professor Elliot Lewis explores the ways biracial Americans are answering questions of race and identity.
I grew up in South Africa during apartheid, which was awkward because I was raised in a mixed family.
Trevor Noah, reading from his book Born a Crime, tells a story of coming to terms with his identity as the child of an interracial couple. It's a theme New Yorker Jamie Floyd can relate to.
I always refer to my illegitimate birth.
Floyd's mother is white. Her father was black. Her parents married in Illinois in the 1950s when interracial marriages in the U.S. were still banned in more than half the country. The Supreme Court struck down those laws with a landmark ruling in 1967. Floyd was born 3 years earlier, in 1964.
We weren't considered valid children. They used to call us mixed nuts and Oreos and half-breeds. I got that insult a lot, and other things I cannot say on the air.
That journey of growing up biracial in the United States is something I've written about before as a journalist. It's a journey I have lived all my life. Both of my parents are olive-complexioned, mixed-race people of black and white ancestry. My father's birth certificate listed his race as mulatto, an old term once used to refer to someone who was half black. But conversations in our home about being mixed were rare. As an adult, I settled on the term biracial to describe myself. It seemed to fit me best, given my life experience. Not so for Jamie Floyd.
As a child, there was no question in my mind or in anyone else's mind that I was black.
For Floyd, that's just the way it was. For college student Lissa Thomas, however, it's a different story.
When I was growing up, I always referred to people of color as them, as if to say I wasn't included.
Thomas is a senior at Syracuse University. She says though her parents were never married, she grew up living with her white mother during the week, staying with her black father on weekends, and learning to navigate two different worlds.
At my mom's house, I talk like a white person, and at my dad's house, I talk like a black person. I don't know how to differentiate those two things. Apparently, everyone else does.
There is a term for what you've described. People call it code switching.
Oh, there's a term? Awesome. Okay, so yeah, that, I guess.
Thomas, who is now 21, says up until the age of 17, she thought of herself as white. Here, she's reading from an essay she wrote called The Day I Turned Black.
The day I turned black, everyone told me I was not. I speak white, I dress white, I have white skin, white freckles, and a white mom. It didn't matter when I reminded them of my nose, hair, lips, or father. It didn't matter when
Thomas says her shift toward identifying as black came about as she grew closer to her dad and more distant from her mom. She describes the relationship with her mother today as one filled with racial tension.
People all the time will be like, well, how can your mom be racist? Like, she had a baby with a black guy. It's liking one black man is not the same as liking brown people.
Jason Gruber is also a student at Syracuse University. He is a senior in the Newhouse School at SU.
I completely identify as kind of a biracial person.
His father is a black man from Barbados. His mother is a white Jamaican. He grew up in an integrated community on Long Island.
I never, ever had to feel like I had to identify as one thing because everybody around me were so many different things that I didn't feel like I needed to fit in one particular place because we were so connected and so ready to intermingle with one another.
Gruber says things changed when he got to college, where he felt he had to choose a side. He says he's found acceptance in black communities as a biracial person, but
there's kind of like a, you don't know our struggle well enough to be able to identify as fully one of us, but you can enjoy your time here. Like, you can have a nice day. You know what I'm saying?
Full disclosure. We met because you were a student in my class this past semester.
True.
So I'm curious as to what your reaction was upon seeing me. What race did you think I was?
So when I heard your name, Elliot Lewis, I was like, this professor's going to be white. this is going to be another white professor. When I seen you, I was like, I don't know. It's kind of throwing me off a little bit. And then I think even because you have such a professional way of speaking, it still wasn't easy to identify you. I wouldn't say I at first thought I placed you either or. I think what I thought was, I was like, I don't particularly, not that I particularly cared to place you either or, but I was also like, I don't particularly know what he could be. And then once you kind of introduced yourself as biracial, I was like, oh, makes sense. We're here. We see each other.
Jason Gruber, Lissa Thomas, and Jamie Floyd all mention the one drop rule as having an influence on how America sees race and how other people see them. The one drop rule, which dates back to slavery, put forth the idea that anyone with any trace of black ancestry could be considered black, though legal definitions of blackness actually differed from state to state. The rule's relevance today is a matter of debate. For scholars of ethnic studies, discussions around biracial identity have evolved. Paul Spickert is a professor at the University of California, Santa Barbara.
Mixed race studies didn't exist when I was coming up.
Now it does. Spickert and I met last spring at the 5th Annual Critical Mixed Race Studies Conference, held just outside Washington, D.C. Back in 1989, Spickert published a book called Mixed Blood, which challenged earlier narratives about the struggles of multiracial people.
All the sociologists had written was that, you know, mixed people are crazy. You know, that there was a tension between the races in them and that they felt out of place and all those other kind of things. And there are ways in which there some of that interpretation is reflected in people's existence.
Spickert says those studies didn't line up with the interracial families he knew.
They didn't seem messed up to me.
Today, old narratives are being rewritten with a more nuanced view. And Jamie Floyd is doing some of the rewriting.
This is All Things Considered on WNYC.
A news anchor at the NPR station in New York City, she hosted a series of forums over the last year and a half on race, family, and identity.
I guess the question is, who doesn't have one?
Okay,
drop a black blood.
Here's what I want to do. I want to have the microphone come over.
I want people to understand that it's not ancient history. It's our reality. Not because we're angry, but because the progress that has been made is tremendous. I am so hopeful for what we can do in the next decade, in the next 20 years, in the next 50.
There's a reason for Floyd's optimism. Her parents' interracial marriage lasted nearly 60 years. For WAER News, I'm Elliot Lewis.
Trevor Noah is a speaker at Syracuse University's Martin Luther King Celebration Sunday night at 7 p.m. Elliot Lewis is a professor in SU's Newhouse School and wrote the book Fade, Examining Multiracial Identity in America. For more on this and other local news stories, you can visit our website, waer.org.